Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today, and what a blessing it is, has been already, just being in the house of the Lord. I trust that you have already sensed the presence of God in this place. We pray all week long that God would make this a place of refuge, and not only for our membership here, but for all who would come through the doors, whether it be for one visit or for many, that you would sense the very presence of God and be able to receive that which God has for you individually. And I trust that's what's taking place even now. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would look with me to the book of Galatians in chapter 4. Galatians in chapter 4. The theme in Sunday morning Sunday school and through the music and everything this morning has been about the birth of Christ, the coming of the Christ child, the Savior of the world. And Christmas coming up this next week, and even though it doesn't seem like it for many, no snow and the cold is going to go away, all that, but it's still that time of the year, and it's a day of the year that we have placed on our Christian calendar, the whole nation has, to acknowledge that there was a day when Jesus Christ was born, when God became a man. And so it's a blessing to be able to have opportunities to share that with the others that would come in and want to know more about the birth of Christ. And so Galatians in chapter 4, I believe this is where the Lord would have us this morning. If you'll stand with us, we're going to be reading verse 4 down to verse 7. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for giving of us the greatest gift that mankind could ever receive, the gift of your only begotten Son, which when received as our own personal Savior, a gift of everlasting eternal life. What a blessing. I pray this morning, God, for all that are here. You knew who was going to be here before they even knew they were coming. And you know exactly what's going to be said and what's going to be presented. And I just pray, God, that you would use it today. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. The very existence of God goes back to eternity past. We can't place a number of years on it, as the world likes to do that, and they explain away things that cannot be explained outside of creation by just adding another billion years to it. And we can't go back and put billions or even trillions of years to the existence of God, because it's infinite. It's eternal. It goes beyond the human comprehension that we cannot even comprehend the eternity of God in our minds, because we are limited. We think there had to be a beginning and there have to be an end, but with God there is no beginning and is no end. I mean, He is eternal. That's what eternal is. But the eternal God designed time back in creation. He designed time for man. As God was creating everything, the heavens and the earth, the atmosphere, the rotation of the earth, the night and day that would make up a 24-hour day, all of that was in preparation for His ultimate creation, and that was be man after His own image and His own likeness. And so the eternal God designed time at that time for man. And then some 2,000 years ago, the Bible says, in the fullness of time. That's what we read this morning, Galatians in chapter 4. That means when it became time for this, as God designed a time for this, He sent forth His Son. God's predetermined, this is what I'm going to preach a message on this morning, is God's predetermined, written down, scheduled time for Christ's coming. That's what we find here in the book of Galatians in chapter 4 and verse 4 is telling us that in the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. So God's predetermined, written down, scheduled time for Christ's coming. As I have staff here at the church, I have the staff give me a schedule, a weekly schedule for where they'll be and what they'll be doing. And I have them do that for me for a winter schedule and a summer schedule because things change around the church here and responsibilities and all the things. But for me, I need to know where they're at and what they're doing. And so each one of them have a schedule. Each one of them writes it down for me and then presents it to me so I might know where they're at and what they're doing. On a much larger scale, God has written His schedule down for all the world to know. And we can know because it's written down. And a promise that God made to us, Jesus Christ, saying, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. God's word, according to the promise of an almighty God, will be available for us to know not only who God is, but what His schedule is. So in verse 4, we find when the fullness of time, when it became time, a time that God scheduled, and He scheduled that at the very beginning of time. When it became time, God sent forth His Son. God's first promise or prophecy of this day is found back. It was written down in the very beginning as He gives us the account of Genesis, the beginning of all things. If you look back there with me, Genesis chapter 3. Now I'm going to go through several passages of Scripture, so I want you to be aware of that. And I want you to be able to understand, if you need to write it down so you can go back and refer to them, I want you to do so. But the main thought is I want you to understand God's predetermined, written down, scheduled time. God has that, and we can know all things that God would have us to know concerning life and death, eternity past, present, and future. So the first of God's prophecies of this day, of in the fullness of time when God would send His Son, was given to us back in Genesis in chapter 3. After the fall of man, after Adam and Eve did what God told them not to do, then God would judge them. And He told them ahead of time, if you do this, you shall surely die. And so now God is addressing, and not only will He address Adam and Eve, but He addresses Satan here, because Satan is a tempter of all humanity. Satan is the ultimate enemy. He is the enemy of humanity, not man, but God. He works through man. But Satan is the enemy. He is the adversary. And so we find here the Bible, actually God deals with Satan first of all here. And the Lord, in verse 14, the Bible says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Now, so we find here that God addresses a serpent, which was Satan's tool. Satan actually possessed this serpent, and we find that Satan worked through him to tempt Eve. He was cursed from being the most beautiful of all creatures to a loathsome reptile or a snake. Reveals what sin will do to us. So He addressed him first of all. But then we find that He addresses Eve. He says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." Not talking about Adam's seed now, and it's very important that we understand that. It talks about the seed of woman. Because Jesus would come by the seed of woman, but not the seed of man. And so he says here, he says, I will put enmity between between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. This virgin born Son of God would be manifest in the flesh, and what he would accomplish in his lifetime as a man is he would bruise the head. He would defeat the devil. And thou shalt bruise his heel. He would be crucified. So we find here in the prophecies of the Old Testament, God has revealed to us in his promise, the promise of when the fullness of time, when the time comes that I have planned, that I have predetermined and written down, when that fullness of time will come, I will send my only begotten Son. And he will be born of a virgin. He will be born of woman. And he will come to do my bidding. And he would be God in the flesh. Wow. Jesus would defeat the devil. But you see, it was all according to God's predetermined, written down, scheduled time. Can I tell you, the whole Old Testament, as we taught in Sunday morning Sunday school this morning, it all pointed to this fullness of time. And the fullness of time came some 2,000 years ago. No one would have been able to understand that except for God, who prophesied it. And the more we understand about the Old Testament, the more we could have seen this coming to pass, because it was written down. And now for us to have our faith strengthened and understanding that God has a purpose for all things and God has a design for all things, that we can go back now and we can see, yes, Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. That was a matter of history. That is a matter of fact. It doesn't take faith to believe that. All we have to do is look back in the facts of history and we can tell that Jesus Christ, the very virgin-born Son of God, was born in the flesh 2,000 years ago. But then we go back another some 4,000 years and we find that it's written down in the Word of God that it would come to pass. That's God. Second of all, we find in the fullness of time that God has written down for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, we find that God revealed to Abraham that he would be the father of the nation that would bring forth this Messiah. Written down. When it became time, then God would call Abraham out. And as God called Abraham out, we find it written down for us so we might even have our faith strengthened in this New Testament church age and understanding God's purpose for all things. We look back and we look at this Old Testament that was pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will strengthen your faith when you see it has been written down for us to know these things. And so Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall," look right here, "all families of the earth." The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ would impact and be a possibility for all families of the earth, for all humanity, for God loved the world, all humanity, that he gave his only begotten Son. And he says to Abraham, "And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." God revealed to Abraham that he would be the father of the nation, which would eventually be called Israel, that would bring forth the Messiah. Now we find that written down and even explained to us in the New Testament, Acts chapter 3. I want you to be strengthened in your faith this morning, and that's this message. Hopefully it will do that for you. And you'll be able to rejoice even more so on Christmas Day, knowing that what it represents in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. In Acts in chapter 3 and verse 25 and verse 26, this is what the Bible says. "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant with God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now, what he revealed in the Old Testament is being fulfilled in prophecy in the New Testament. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So he is identifying with what he had revealed to Abraham, that it was connected to all, eventually and ultimately the seed of the Son of God coming. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm talking these are thousands of years, and we find it written down the whole time for us to realize that some 2,000 years ago, it was come, it was time in the fullness of the time, in God's scheduled time, it would happen just as God had planned it. Yeah. It doesn't stop there. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. I want you to see this. This is God's written down. Predetermined, design, plan. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Through the prophet Isaiah, we find the Bible says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. God revealed through Isaiah that Christ would be virgin born. Now, we see it prophesied in the very beginning, okay, to Eve. And then we see it prophesied through Abraham. And now we see the prophet Isaiah saying that he would come and he would be virgin born. Well, now if you look with me to Matthew chapter 1, and Matthew chapter 1, we could look at any of the Gospels and see this being revealed, but Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, thinking of Joseph and Mary. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. This is Joseph, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Even though she has conceived, she has not known man. Now, Joseph would have known, if he understood the Old Testament verses and the Old Testament prophets, and this would give him assurance, not only with the angel speaking to him, but he would be able to go back and read what had already been written down for him, to have faith to believe that this is something that would not be able to take place in with just man's ability. But with God's plan, predetermined design, he could have faith into knowing that God worked so that Mary would conceive the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ child. To the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. He's even revealing to us that it was prophesied, now it's been fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. So God revealed through Isaiah that Christ would be virgin born. If we go to the book of Micah, write it down, you'll not, might have a little trouble finding that particular book of the Bible, but the book of Micah, God revealed through Micah, the prophet Micah, that the prophecy of the place of the birth. God says, I want you to know that this is something that I have designed. I understand every aspect of his coming. In the fullness of time, everything lined up. Everything was in proper position around the world for the coming of the Christ child. And he said in this, when it takes place, it will actually, I will have prepared the place of birth for his coming. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 says this, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth hath been from old, from everlasting. And so we find from the prophet Micah, he reveals to us that he would come out of Bethlehem. Now we go back into the New Testament here again. We find what the Bible says about where Jesus was born in Luke in chapter 2. In Luke in chapter 2 and verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto this Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. He went there because it was already designed. God knew exactly who would be taxed. God knew exactly where he would be and where he would need to go for the birth of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the more you see this, the more it ought to cause the tingle coming up and down your spine. It all excites you to understand God, Almighty God, the eternal God, has predetermined and written down a schedule of what he is going to do, and he's already done much of that. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, and the prophecies of the Old Testament are now being fulfilled in the beginning of the New Testament. That which ushered in the New Testament was, in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came. Yes. Amen. It gets even better than that. It doesn't stop there. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Through this we find that God revealed that the Savior would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. The Bible says, Jesus wanted the disciples to know that God knows every hair of your head. Amen. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. We can just see how God designed it all and wrote it down, so there's no contradiction to that. There's no question that God, it happened just as God said it would happen, because he's in control. Amen. Predetermined, written down, scheduled plan. He wanted us to know. I've even scheduled him to ride into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Prophesied, Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, it says this: Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, because thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. The king ride into Jerusalem basically on a donkey. Well, let's see what John had to say about that. John chapter 12. Given us an accurate account of the life of Christ. And it lines itself up exactly to the prophecies of the Old Testament. John chapter 12 and verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King. Even the ones that would later crucify him looked at him and called him King. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on that ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the time, at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. And even when they realized this, and they looked back over the life and the time that they spent with him, their faith was increased even much more. Can I tell you, when we understand these things and we look back to the prophecies that were written down for us, it will cause us to have greater faith than what we've ever had before. Because there's no explanation outside of God. No human mind could have orchestrated that. No human mind could have understood what would take place in 4,000 years. No human mind could have taken that and by detail after detail. This is God revealing it to humanity so that we might know that He is God. Yes. Not only that, let's go on to Zechariah chapter 11. Zechariah chapter 11. God revealed that the Savior would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. In Zechariah chapter 11, God revealed the price that Jesus would be betrayed by. Much of the crucifixion of Jesus would be determined by Judas, the betrayer of Christ. In Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12 and 13. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter. Understand the potter there, that'll come into play. A goodly price that I was prized of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. That was what was prophesied. Now go with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. Didn't repent to God, but repented within himself. And brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. The potter's field. Can I tell you that God pre-designed, written down, so that we might be able to read that and say, you got to go beyond coincidental. You got to go beyond human mind. You got to go beyond just happen to take a shot in the dark and hit it. You have to know beyond the shadow of a doubt based on the very words of God. He knew exactly what was taking place and when it would take place. Because it's been predetermined, written down, scheduled. Psalms chapter 22. Psalms chapter 22. God revealed the manner of death that Jesus would suffer, that the Messiah would go through. Psalms chapter 22, verse 13. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. In other prophecies, it said not a bone would be broken, but they would be out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. And they would pierce his side. There would be water and blood coming out. My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet, indicating that it have to be Roman crucifixion, not death by stoning, as would have been the Jewish way of execution. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Now turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, almost the exact situation, the words and identifying with what God had prophesied. In John chapter 19, verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier apart, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. How could that be? How could they have known? They didn't, but God did. Because God knows everything. He's omniscient. He is sovereign. He understands eternity past, present, and future. God's predetermined. Written down. It's written down. Don't change it. It's been written down for a purpose. Preserved. Scheduled plan. They said among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Who shall be that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and from my vesture did they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Look down to verse 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. They'd broken the legs of the others, but they broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out what had melted inside, blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith is true, that it might, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scriptures should be fulfilled. Wow. God's predetermined, written down, scheduled, planned. Matthew chapter 16, we're about done, just about done. Just two more thoughts here real quick. Matthew chapter 16. Because now we come to the prophecies of Christ. Jesus himself prophesied of his own resurrection. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, the Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes. And this is something they could not understand because they did not understand this in the Old Testament. It was the mystery of the Old Testament. And be killed. They thought he came to establish world power. But he came to be a sacrificial lamb. And before he would establish world power in Jerusalem during the millennial reign, there would have to be this church age, which was a mystery in the Old Testament. And be killed and be raised again the third day. Before it ever took place, it was predetermined, written down, God's scheduled plan. Over in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through 6, but for sake of time, I want you to look at just verse 6. It says, as they went to the tomb 3 days later to find it empty, the Bible says, the angel said, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Jesus himself knew why he came. There was never a time when he did not know why he came. There was never a time that he was not looking forward to the cross of Calvary where he would be able to do the will of the Father and pay the sin debt of the whole world to give every man, woman, and child an opportunity, the child of the age of accountability, an opportunity to have everlasting life. The plan for salvation was predetermined. Who is saved is determined by every individual's free will. Don't get confused and thinking that that's been predetermined. No, it's been predetermined. If you're going to get saved, there's only one plan of salvation. You have to believe. And then you have to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How can you not believe when you look to the Bible? How could you not believe when you look what God has written down? How can you not believe the truths of this Bible when you see it as God has preserved it for us? One last prophecy. Luke chapter 21, we're done. Luke chapter 21. Verse 25. Before he would even go to the cross, not only did he prophesy his death, burial, and resurrection, he prophesied his second coming. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with a power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your hearts, for your redemption draweth nigh. God's predetermined, written down, scheduled plan is for all to know. And not only for all to know, but for all to be prepared. God has given his schedule that we might know. Today, we need to, by grace, through faith, believe and receive Jesus Christ. If that doesn't convince you, nothing will. The rich man in hell said, Father Abraham, let me go back and warn my brothers. For surely if they've seen somebody come back from the grave and warned that they would believe. If they'll not believe Moses and the prophets, if they'll not believe what I've already written down and scheduled, they'll not believe, even though one rose from the dead. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, but it was all written down. Scheduled in the fullness of time. It could be that today is a fullness of time for your last chance of getting saved. Could be. I don't know that. No one does but God. But there will come a time which will be your last opportunity. Either before you die or before the rapture of the church, but it will be your last opportunity. Is today that fullness of time? Is today that last opportunity that you'll ever have to believe and receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior? Don't take a chance. If God is speaking to you this morning, if you do not know beyond the shadow of a doubt that heaven would be your home, if your eyes close in death, today needs to be the day of your salvation. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. God's predetermined, written down, scheduled plan. For Christ, there's no doubt about it. But can I tell you, he's got a plan and a schedule for each one of us. He'll not force you, but he has a plan to give you an opportunity. Today you have an opportunity. Don't let it pass you by. An opportunity for a lost man to be saved. An opportunity for a saved man to confess and forsake sins before the judgment of God comes down, whatever it might be. Today is that day. Don't let it pass you by. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, that you would take what we've presented this morning and you would use it to speak to all that are here. And those that have need to make a decision, God, I pray today they'd make that decision to be drawn closer to thee. In Jesus' name we pray.